What a loaded Ira Kaufman podcast it is today, presented by Bill Curry Ford. They will pay off your trade no matter what you owe. And all those details are at BillCurryFord.com. Family owned since 1960. The Curry family, third generation family owned and run dealership, ready to serve you. Don't worry, drive Curry. And don't forget to ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. You'll get that from General Manager Sean Sullivan at BillCurryFord.com.
Apparently she was with other people. He was with other people, but they're not in the picture. Where are they?
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Almost looking fit. I'm not sure. We'll have to assess that later. And what do you mean fit?
I was just insulted by our man Josh over here. He said, check your waistline, Ira.
All right. Well, before we give the full intro, we'll explain that we're here at the Florida's Elite Restoration headquarters in Tampa.
Plush headquarters.
Okay. And we'll talk about them later, of course, and all the great things they do. In the meantime, floridaselite restoration.com. Get there for everything that you might need when you have a disaster at your property. And Sage, how are you, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Mr. King of Newport Richie? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm still basking in the news that my son's getting married. Lee, that's a big deal. It's our only child. He's 40 years old, never been married.
It's going to be a big bill.
Now, wait a minute. I thought it's the bride's...
Supposed to be. But, you know...
You know what I'm going to tell him? Go to Clearwater Beach. I'll give you $150 and go take care of it.
Better yet, just give him $300 and tell him to go to Vegas.
I was at the 65th anniversary party of Bill Curry Ford in the glorious showroom a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. You could have a wedding in there.
Come on, you're making that
no,
up.
No, absolutely. There were 300 people there. It was fantastic. Catered. It was an unbelievable...
Are you saying they have a chapel there?
Family owned, 65 years.
Some little five-year-old will jump into one of Sean's cars and drive it off the lot.
I think you underestimate what you could pull off there. You could have a beautiful wedding. And
Sam's already got a truck from Sean. He got an F-150.
All right, Ira, look. Bill Curry Ford presents all of your work at JoeBucksFan.com. Don't worry, drive Curry.
We're coming up to my 10-year anniversary. My 10-year anniversary in July.
At JoeBucksFan.com. How about that? Yeah, we're making preparations, Ira.
Yeah, it's a month before my birthday.
Late July, you're leaving us to go to Hawaii in honor of that. We're very excited about that.
He's blown off training camp to go to Hawaii.
Smart man.
That's a smart man, Lee. That's a smart man.
Seriously, Bill Curry Ford, get there online, BillCurryFord.com, the showroom a mile north of the stadium. And, of course, you can schedule mobile service at Bill Curry Ford. And we'll hear from Sean Sullivan later. Just great things going on there. Check out all of the April offers. Go ahead, Lee.
For about 30 years, Ira, when I was a high school football writer, take a guess how many Friday nights I missed during a football season?
Six.
Uno.
Wow.
Because my dad had his 90th birthday party, and I couldn't get out of that.
Wow. No kidney stones, no nothing was going to get you
from nothing.
It.
My dad always taught me, when you have a job, that's your biggest responsibility. Because without that job, you got nothing.
Did you watch from the sidelines or from the press box?
It really varied.
Because I watched from the sidelines.
It really varied. Here's a great story. This is a great story. I was on a sidelines for a game back when I was working in Kansas City area. I was on the 20-yard line. Kid throws a bomb way, way, way down the field on the far sideline. Kid catches it, runs in for a touchdown. I could not tell if it was 80, 82, 86, or 88.
The number.
Precisely. So at halftime, I went up to his coach. I said, who scored that touchdown? What number was it? He goes, name so-and-so. It was number 86. Okay. Very good. Write my story. Make deadline. Okay. Next morning, I got the nastiest call.
Don't tell me the parents.
From the mother of 88.
Saying, you screwed my son out of a touchdown? Yep. Did you tell her I got the information from the coach?
Yep.
Did you throw the coach under the bus?
Nope. I told her why I had a mistake. I was very upfront with her. And I didn't blame the coach. I just said, you know, I'll do...
Well, her next phone call was to the coach.
I don't know that, but what I do know is after that, a lot of the time I was up in the press box. You can get a better view.
I didn't have to worry about 80-yard bombs for the Bucs last year because they didn't throw any, Steve. They didn't throw any balls downfield. You listening to me? Zach Robinson, throw the ball down the field.
Not nearly enough. We know that your favorite play is the pass interference flag.
I love the pass interference flag.
So that's in San Francisco now.
So look, Sage, we got plenty to get to in this podcast, and we're not going to mess around anymore. The draft is coming up in a couple of weeks. Jason Light will be talking soon.
I'm making my pick in my next column, Steve. Who they should pick and who I think they will pick. Same person.
All right. Well, we'll see that at joebucksfan.com. A lot of stuff, peripheral things happening with the Bucks this week. A lot of comments going around. And, of course, later in the show, Ira, we have to get your take on Diana Rossini and that whole situation because, you know, people want to know what the Sage thinks and if he's been holding hands with Todd Bowles. A lot of people think that, you know.
Well, Steve, you remember last year at the Breakers in Palm Beach at the owners' meetings, you watched me stand there with Sean Payton, Payton's wife, and Diana Rossini for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to talk.
You were stunned by that.
We're going to talk about that later, Ira, because the people might want to know what was going on there. All right, so look, Sage, Gerald McCoy, he was talking.
He's doing a lot of yakking, Lee.
He's paid to yak.
He's doing a lot of yakking.
He should. He's paid to yak. Good money, too.
Before we get into some draft stuff and all that, Ira, Gerald McCoy, he's out there talking with Levante David on the arena. He's a regular guest. You know, it's Skip Bayless's new venture with Gilbert Arenas of the NBA, and McCoy was horrified publicly about the Buccaneers' pass rush coaching, and he said, quote, "We got to coach up their pass rush, man. We got to coach it up," adding the Bucs had talent but didn't get enough out of it. Per McCoy, quote, "You can coach up any group. They were so uncoordinated. They were not coordinated together, and I'm texting Levante, man, hey, what do we got to do, man? Bucs pass rushers are just not on the same page," and he said the pass rush games were all messed up, not setting anybody up for one-on-one. Now,
why don't he talk to Jason Light?
Well, what makes this interesting for three reasons. Number one is Lee's been hammering the pass rush coaching for years, and now Gerald McCoy is on board publicly.
Well,
anyway,
maybe so, McCoy was talking more about the assistant coaches. Lee's hammering Bowles.
Come on.
As Harry Truman would say, the buck stops here.
Come on. It's a coaching staff. I mean, if Bowles doesn't like the way these guys are being coached up, then he can change it. So I thought that was very interesting. What do you make of, aside from just that, just the public nature of McCoy throwing that out there now?
Well, he's not the only one criticizing Lee. Rondé's made some pointed remarks about the defense being too complicated. Mm. So, you know, I wouldn't call McCoy a buck icon like Rondé is. He's not going to Hall of Fame. Yeah. But I'm one of the few guys that thinks he's going to be in the Ring of Honor in 15 years. And I wouldn't mind it. Somebody's got to represent those horrible years.
Do they?
Along with Levante. So anyway, I hesitate to say this because I don't want to send Lee out to the parking lot. But here's my response to McCoy. What talent? What talent, McCoy? What are you talking about? Yaya Diaby? Hey, he's okay. He's a number two pass rusher. Who are they not bringing along? So he doesn't like the scheme.
I don't like the talent.
Wait
a minute. Maybe he thinks they have C talent and they got D minus production.
No, they got C production. C talent.
C production from the pass rush?
37 sacks. It's a C. C minus, whatever. Defense overall stunk. That's on Bowles. But I don't like the front seven in terms of talent. And that's why everybody says that they got to gobble up these people in the draft. Got to gobble them up. They don't have enough. Don't have enough.
They don't.
And I'm not counting on David Walker. I'm sorry.
I'm not shutting the door on him, but let's just say I'm not as optimistic as Jason Light.
All right, so Lee, Ira, seriously, do you think McCoy, we'll go to Lee first, do you think McCoy going public with what is a shot at Todd Bowles is a change from him, is meaningful? Because he's been one of Bowles' biggest defenders.
Well, a couple things. Number one, if it's accurate, it's not a shot. That's number one. Number two, that gives credibility to what I've been saying for years. And I'll just say this, and I know Ira and I have completely different definitions of coaching. My definition of a coach is a teacher. You help bring the guy along. You help improve him. He may be garbage talent. That doesn't mean you can't get some production out of him. That means you make a guy better. From crap to less smelly crap, to trash to leftovers. You make a guy better. And I'll say it again, every defensive end / outside linebacker the Bucs have obtained, whether the draft or undrafted free agency, since Bowles has been a head coach, they've never reached their rookie production when it comes to sacks. And right there, that's on coaching. I'm sorry. That's on coaching. If you regress from your rookie year, where we all will admit rookies don't do well because what are they? They're rookies. They're learning. If they don't match their production 3 years into the league, to me, it screams coaching. Now we got a guy who How many years did he play? 12 years, 11 years? Saying basically what I've been saying, only he comes with some credibility.
All right,
that's all I'm saying.
All right, I'll retort with this one. You see anybody climbing over another general manager to sign Hasan Reddick? Disaster. He stinks. Nobody wants him.
Can you tell
that
me?
That ain't on Bulls.
Okay. Tell me about Yaya Diaby.
He's playing decent.
How come he hasn't done as well as he's done since a rookie?
He's playing decent.
How come he hasn't done as well as he was a rookie?
I wouldn't say he's regressed.
Well, the numbers are black and white, man.
No, you said he had a very strong year in terms of pressures and stuff.
Pressures. Shove pressures. I'm a sacks guy.
Lee, you and I just disagree.
Yeah, where's the improvement?
I think there's a dearth of talent in terms of pass rushers.
Should we get out the wiffle ball bats?
Diaby, I think, is okay. I don't think Bowles has
that. Right, do you believe a coach can make any player better than what he was when he first showed up? To me, that's an absolute no-brainer, yes.
Well, to throw you guys a curveball
small,
here,
incrementally better.
That's fair.
Todd Monken, the new Browns head coach, former Bucs offensive coordinator, great opening press conference with his team coming back.
And he missed the picture. He missed the coach's picture at the owner's meeting.
He missed the picture. So they rescheduled it on him, and he was getting a haircut. You know, he didn't check his phone, and that was that. But he said, look, telling the reporters, look, guys, we're here to develop players and win games. That's it. That's all I'm here for. We're here to do. Develop players, win games, make them better, you know, incrementally, and win games, and that's it. But you don't see this as McCoy maybe changing a tune or tone toward...
I think it's McCoy trying to make some news, you know, and guys do that. Did you say he's working with Skip Bayless?
Oh, yeah, he's been...
Well, Bayless is famous for inflammatory stuff that he doesn't believe half the time, so I hope that's not rubbing off on McCoy. Now, I'm going to throw this out at you, Isbitz, and you have to answer this. If I'm willing to say that Bowles has not done a great job in developing his pass rush talent, will you at least acknowledge that the pass rush talent has been substandard?
Of course it's been substandard. I mean, it's been below average for a while.
I'm not talking about coaching. I'm talking about the talent.
Yeah, the talent's been below average, but they've made it,
Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
That's Jason Light and Todd Bowles. Look, I think Yaya Diaby, great job. Third-round pick guy's been a great third-round pick. He's been developed. He's doing well. Expectations are reasonable for him. I'm all for it. The inside guys have done well. But the rest of the edge rushers, they keep screwing up on. That's not acceptable. So, look, I'm in the camp that'll cry if they don't draft an edge rusher with the first-round pick. I think it's the biggest no-brainer sitting out there for the team because, I agree, if Bowles doesn't get him this year, then the next coach will get him. You need talent at that position. And
even if it's the fifth best pass rusher,
I don't
care.
What do I care if a guy's the sixth best or the third best? If I have him evaluated as good, I don't care. Well, we could take the fourth best cornerback. Who cares?
Fair enough.
You make a board for a reason. Follow it. But they need that edge rush talent. Even if Bowles gets 75% out of it, you need it.
I think if Bowles gets a stud, the guy will be a stud. That's my opinion. If he gets a stud.
Not a lot of evidence for that, Ira, to back Lee up there.
I don't think he's gotten a stud. I say this all the time, Lee. Your argument is not going to hold water,
in my opinion,
and we're not there yet, until a guy that flounders under Todd Bowles, a young developing player, goes somewhere else and is a stud. Until that happens, you're not going to win this argument. I'm going to blame Bowles for Joe Tryon Shoyinka.
A coach can F up a guy's head. A pass rusher's head. And he went in a great example. And if you ask me, he was talking about Bowles, but he wasn't talking about Bowles. He was talking about a guy that he had in New Orleans. Cam Jordan is the guy I was referring to.
All right, but you know my point about Shaq Barrett. He didn't screw up Shaq Barrett's head.
Because Shaq Barrett was a veteran.
All right,
was JPP.
Let's get off the edge rush argument, which I think is valid. A lot of nuance to it. So, Ira, but this is important. We're going to hear from you later on some other important things. We got draft talk. We got a lot to get to. But Todd Bowles took your question from me via me at the owners' meetings last week. We talked about this on the last podcast. Bowles rejected the notion that his team wasn't very hungry late in the year and that opponents were hungrier than the Bucs.
Yeah, for all these fans out there that say I carry water for Todd Bowles, that's the question I gave Isbitz to ask Bowles.
He completely
was, why did other teams look more excited to play than the Bucs?
He completely threw that out.
That was my question.
Right. Threw that out the window. Except so Jason Light was at the owner's meeting same day because I was there following these guys, shadowing them, figuring out what they're up to.
You're doing an Ira. Did an Ira.
He sat down with Kevin Clark of ESPN and did a podcast.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of Kevin Clark?
I don't think so.
That same afternoon, did a podcast with Clark. It didn't post till this week. You know, it's like 8 days later. But he asked Light, tell me the biggest difference between the 2025 Bucks and the 2026 Bucks. And Light said, hunger.
It'll direct be a, quote.
Direct quote, hunger. That was his response. I feel we got a lot to prove. I feel like we let a lot of fans down last year. A lot of self-reflecting, and I feel like we were better than that. So I think that sentiment, hunger, is shared by everybody in the organization. What do you make of that clash, Mr. Sage?
Mr. Sage.
What he might have been meaning is when you don't make the playoffs and you collapse in the second half, you got a lot to atone for. And so in that sense, you're more hungry. I'm not sure that that's Light's way of saying that other teams were more excited to play. It depends how you want to interpret it. How do you interpret it, Lee?
Literally, hunger to me is the synonym is desire.
That's on coaching.
I know if it's on coaching. I know some people like to hang on leadership. I just know that Bowles three or four times, Levante David twice, Baker Mayfield once, unloaded on the defense for not busting their tail. To me, that's partially hunger or desire. And we know that. They admitted it. We saw it with our own eyes when it comes to Bowles.
Maybe Bowles says that has nothing to do with being excited.
Come on, stop. The Bucks lost to Washington in the playoffs after 2024. They came back saying, we're hungry. We're avenging that loss. We were right there.
And they started great.
A couple of rookies made mistakes. We're hungry. And then all of a sudden, they weren't hungry anymore. They lost to the Saints, the Panthers, and the Falcons.
You don't have to convince me. I'm the guy that asked the question.
I agree with you. So don't back off it.
I'm not backing off. I don't care if Bowles doesn't admit it.
I think Light.
We all saw it with our own eyes.
I think Light.
The Miami Dolphins wanted to win more than the Bucks. That's unacceptable.
Quinn Ewers.
And I think Light sees it too.
Sure, he did.
You're suggesting maybe there's something else. I don't think it's.
Well, let's think about this.
I don't think it's complicated.
Well, he let Logan Hall walk and replaced him with a guy who was an ass kicker. I don't think that was a coincidence.
Yeah,
and I'm not anti-Logan Hall, but he didn't have a fiery demeanor. This guy, this Robinson, A'shaun Robinson, he's an ass kicker.
Maybe Anzalone's like that too.
So I saw this, Ira. I thought it might have been the biggest line in the sand between Todd Bowles and Jason Light that we've found, because they usually are pretty much in lockstep
you're
publicly.
You're not going to find much space between them normally.
All right, Sage, look, as everybody knows, we're here at the Florida's Elite Restoration Headquarters. Now, don't start coming down here because it's not a retail establishment.
They got a ping pong table. I might be here every week.
We could have tournaments. I think we could have Face the Sage.
There's a big board over there, and I want my name on that board.
And he was already hitting the candy jar out front.
All right, that's the voice of Josh Martin, the owner of Florida's Elite Restoration. And, Josh, thanks for having us here. Before we talk about your business, though, I love talking to regular Bucks fans. They've got great perspective. And heat of the moment is one thing when you're sitting in the stands or walking out after a loss or a win. But the guys who've soaked it all in and have strong opinions about the Bucks and why, I love hearing that stuff. And I know fans do as well. You know, it's like talking to somebody who's not a terrible sports radio caller. Josh is a seasoned fan. I know you've been a fan for 20 plus years.
He's a reasonable man, Steve.
Hardcore fan. So, Josh, Ira wants to ask you the money question, which, of course, is about the head coach.
I can't wait to see what Josh Martin's got to say about Todd Bowles, because from what we read, Josh, in our comments, and maybe it's a mistake reading the comments, but we all do, and when Steve runs the Bowles polls, he does terribly. Confident, 15%. Totally unconfident, 67%. Did the Glazers make a mistake by retaining Todd Bowles?
I mean, time will tell, right? I mean, next year's going to be hit or miss. You know, he's either going to make it or break it, I think, next year. But I think as a fan, you know, I would say that I'm probably a true just Joe Bucks fan. I'm not a college guy. I'm not an X and O's guy. I just truly like the team. I like the excitement. I like the entertainment. I like everything about it. We're season ticket holders. And I think they probably made a mistake, but I don't know where they would go to I mean, unless you're going to pick up Cone back in the day. But I think Bowles might be a good coach, but I think the fan reaction is probably more about his demeanor on the field, I think. The fans are in an uproar and they're screaming or whatever, and he's stoic, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but when the fans see that the coach isn't or doesn't appear to be emotionally tied to the team as they are, I think that's probably where he gets a lot of backlash from.
Did Dungy go through that too? Also a little?
Yeah.
Now, he was winning.
Yeah.
Well, let's stay focused, Aaron. Right. What do you think, Josh? Would you have fired Todd Bowles?
Oh, man. Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Sitting on the fence.
I mean, I would have to see what else is out there. But, yeah, I mean, I would think probably. It's the collapse at the end of the season just wasn't good. And you know, and after the bye and the team's not buying in and, you know, all the things that we hear, you know, from you guys on the podcast, it's a little concerning because if your main guy, your head coach isn't getting your team riled up, they're not going to rile themselves
up. Josh says, this is the make or break season. Josh is right about that. It is. And I'm not even sure 9 wins is enough for me to keep Bowles because that's a slip from where they were 2 years ago. So, Josh, if it doesn't work out this year, he's gone and the Bucks will move on.
Yeah. I mean, you guys always talk about, you know, is the arrow pointing up? This year will really determine if it is or not. He's already here, so you guys might make the best of it.
What about him as in control of the defense? Is that also bothering you?
The lack of a pass rush certainly does, and we lost Dean, and yeah, the defense is certainly an area of concern.
What I think is interesting, Ira, and you brought up the comments on JoeBucksFan.com, and shame on you for reading them all.
Those are our readers.
No, I know. I understand. But it's such a tiny percentage. The people you're reading who hate Todd Bowles, they hate him at all costs. I think Josh represents the typical fan who's like, well, all right, he's here. You know, we got to turn the page to a degree, and let's see what happens.
Some of the commenters are rooting against the Bucks this year, so they fire Bowles.
I mean,
now, you're not going there.
I'm not going there, but I get it. I mean, if they want something to turn around, might as well.
I'm not going there either.
I'm not rooting against the team, but you know, I get why somebody would feel that way. Although on opening day, you got to be a little twisted to think that way on opening day. But Lee knows those types.
Do you think part of Mike Evans' reasoning was he looked at the Bucks, he looked at Bowles, he looked at the roster and said, "I got a better chance with the Niners. I'm going to the Niners."
I can see that. You know, and he wants a fresh start somewhere. I mean, it'd be nice for him to be a Buck forever. And you know, Tampa obviously loves him and we love him and the fans love him. But it was a little disheartening for him to leave. And then, you know, I think that's a part of it because then Levante was done. And Levante might have been done regardless. But right. When they both leave at the same time, it's a little curious.
Josh, where do you stand on Jason Light? Well, what grade would you give him?
Man, just as a regular Joe, I would say a B. I think if we had some exciting players, you know, so here's my perspective as just a regular fan is like when Tom Brady was here, or let's even go back, you know, when we had Allstott and Sapp and Brooks, I mean, that was an exciting team. The players were exciting. You know, Sapp was out there doing his thing and you would get the fans riled up.
The crowd was into it.
You know, so even if they were losing, I mean, there was still an exciting, fun team. And then you had Jameis was a fun player to watch. I mean, the interceptions would kill you, but he was still an interesting person to watch on the field.
Mr. Entertainment.
Yeah, Mr. Entertainment for sure. You know, and then we had Tom Brady. You know, that was an entertaining team. Now it's like, who's on that team? And Mike Evans, entertaining player. Who's on there now that's that entertaining for a regular fan? Baker, yeah, Baker's great. But when he's hurt, it's not that fun to watch.
I guess Bucky Irving, when he's rolling.
When he's rolling, right.
And we hope he gets back to that.
Right.
Beyond that, it is a little limited. I mean, you love the offensive line, but that's not entertainment.
You lose any faith in Mayfield in the second half of last year?
I don't know. I love Mayfield. I love, you know, Tampa's kind of a blue-collar town, and I think Baker represents Tampa.
He's right.
Very well.
That's why Allstott's the all-time popular guy.
Right. And Mayfield is a gritty, you know, he's awesome. You know, watching him play and, you know, like you guys say, he makes those third downs and he'll run. He runs like a running back or a linebacker. But that's just the concerning part, though, is if he gets hurt, then, you know, we don't have anything necessarily behind him.
That's right.
So are you a pay Mayfield guy now? Like, this is the last year of his contract. Would you extend him work to do that now?
Or would you take another year to look at?
Make him wait.
I would extend him a year just to give him some good faith, but I don't know if I'd give him, you know, 3 or 4 years, but I'd put a year on him. And then if he's not doing anything worthwhile, then, you know, hopefully we can do something next year in the draft.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm in improvement mode with Baker. I love Baker. Like Josh does. I love Baker. I mean, no one's got better intangibles. He's got the heart of a lion. You love all that stuff. But for a franchise quarterback, you got to win games in December and January. Got to win them. Otherwise, what are you doing? So I can't give the guy X amount of millions of dollars if I still have doubt in my mind. I got to be convinced.
Hey, Josh, as a season ticket holder, do you get those surveys from the Bucks? And do they ever ask you about which players you like and that kind of stuff?
I do. I don't fill them out, though.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm sure.
How's the game day experience over there? We're in the press box. You're out there in the stands.
Yeah. So,
how do you feel about the whole thing?
Personally, Raymond James, I think, needs redone. I mean, it's, to me, an older stadium. It doesn't have the glitz and the glam like some of these other stadiums do. It's kind of dating itself. I started off in the 100s, and it was fine. But then, so we have club seats now, and we're on the Del Mabry side of the stadium, so it's shaded at least. But you look, 1 o'clock game, and you're looking across, and people are dying on the other side. And it's like, you're spending all this money on a ticket, and you're just, like, literally burning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been like that forever.
Yeah. So that's a little, I wish they would do something like Miami does and have that like overhang over the stadium to at least provide some shade, because it's brutal out there.
How's the parking, the concessions?
Parking's fine. If I'm going to be a critic, I was just at the Lightning game last week, and the Lightning just do everything right. I mean, from the parking garages to the experience to the just everything the Lightning does is just so extra.
Fan friendly.
Yeah, fan friendly. I think it was like Kid Day or something. They had face painters out there. They had balloon makers out there. They had all kinds of stuff out there. There's the bar right, across where the parking garage is. I like that kind of experience. And even when you go in, it's all clean and nice, and it feels new, even though it's not. So the Lightning, I think, beat the Bucks on the experience. And it's a smaller stadium, obviously, but Raymond James is just hot and old, and I think they should do something else.
Big pet peeve of mine, Ira, the Bucks charge you to be in their kids club. Like, come on, nine-year-old's got to pay a little fee to be in the team kids club. I hate that.
You're looking at a renovation or a new stadium, Bill?
I would like a new stadium, honestly. I mean, if they can swing it, but I think a new stadium would uplift this team, especially because if we lose this year, it's going to be hard to sell seats. And even like when Tom Brady was here, the seats were packed, right? I mean, and then they opened up that on the south side of the stadium is that Owl's Nest or Bird's Nest or whatever. They put all those extra bleachers in.
Yeah.
And they were selling a million more extra tickets. Now that thing's long gone.
Yep.
And my concern, I hate to be such a critic because I do love the Bucks, but if the team's exciting and the team's doing good, you're going to fill the seats. I mean, people like the Bucks, obviously, but if you have to have like the Bucks beat band or whatever out there, I'm like, you wouldn't need that if you were having something good on the field. Like, I don't need the extra, the drummers trying to rile me up if your team's doing good.
Mayfield. Josh talked about Mayfield and gave the every fan perspective. Now, I wonder how much the Glazers hear that in the community, Ira, Lee, that, hey, Mayfield, we love him so much, and he represents Tampa, and he's such a good face of the franchise. I wonder if they're hearing the same kind of thing, which could change the whole perspective, because we're looking at it just from football.
I think they're very attuned to that kind of thing, especially at the quarterback position. And I never felt like they felt this whole town was in love with Jameis Winston, even though at times Lee DeKemper was.
Yeah.
And you and I used to go at it. But Brady, of course. And I think the fans have a very positive feeling about Mayfield.
Right.
And I do think that filters to the Glazers. I think they keep an eye on what the fans are saying. And if they do give him an extension, I think the Glazers will be a big reason why.
Lee, you think that rubs off here on the Glazers?
No, because if they really listened to the fans and did what the fans wanted to do, Todd Bowles would not be here. So I don't want to say dispute. I'll just say disagree. I'll disagree with that because the Bowles is still here. If they were really attuned to the fans and listened to the vision of the fans and what the fans want, Todd Bowles would not be here.
It's an interesting subject, Ira, because you think ownership, and you are Mr. Glazer connection there, although I'm getting close to you.
Yeah, you
I'm
are close. Close to you. You are close.
Do you think the ownership cares more about the coach and how the coach is perceived or the quarterback, which is more important?
I think in the end, Josh, I think they said bad year all around. Coaching, roster.
Flush it.
Players. Let's give it one more chance. And this is the make or break. And if they go 7-10, I don't care how much the Glazers like Bowles. He's gone.
Now, I wrote 2 years ago, and people thought I was off my rocker. I usually am, but in this case, I was not. I wrote one reason why Dave Canales was a credible candidate for the Panthers was that he was a perfect corporate mold coach. He's exactly what these teams want. As a face of the franchise.
Clean cut.
Young guy. Everything positive. Corporate. Bowles sort of fits that. I mean, he's not 100% positive, but he fits that mold. And I agree with Josh about, the demeanor of Bowles. I don't think that means a hill of beans if a guy can coach or not. But I get that because I became an Indiana fan in basketball because of Bobby Knight. The guy was nuts. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I was entertained. And so I get that aspect, but I'm not an owner. I'm not an NFL owner. Do you think there's some merit in that? That one reason the Glazers like Bowles so much is he fits the mold of what they perceive a coach to be. You know, the face of the franchise, the front person.
I think there's some truth to that, but as with Tony Dungy, ultimately, if they don't feel that the franchise is getting to where they want to be, they part company. The same thing's going to happen to Bowles if they don't have a good year. Josh, one more point about what you said about his demeanor, and I don't disagree. That becomes a lot more of a factor when you're losing. When
sure.
you win in 10 games, nobody was talking about Bowles' demeanor.
Right.
It's tied in with the wins.
Which is, it gives the perception, at least, that he doesn't care.
That he's detached a little.
Right. The losing doesn't bother him because it bothers all the fans. You know, they're in the car on the way home screaming. You know, they're posting on Twitter screaming.
Yeah.
Did you mind his expletive rant?
I loved it. I wish he would do more of it.
Well, yeah, that's the interesting. I was just going to bring that up because, okay, so that's his demeanor, but he showed his other side. And he showed it when he felt it was a desperate situation. So maybe he needs to show more of that because maybe that's really who he is and he's not really sure. I don't know.
I think he shows that behind closed doors a lot, but not in public. That's why, Josh, it was such a contrast for him to do that.
Yeah, I remember after that game, I was at that game, and after it was over, I ran to the bathroom. And they have the TVs in the bathroom, and I heard it, and I'm like, what is this? We've never heard this before.
Well, Ira, he does periodically, although it wasn't on purpose. He does do that in public. There was, I guess not too many people saw the video, but there was a TikTok video from a fan, the Cardinals game in the second half. He got the defense together on the sidelines, and it was a fire and brimstone sermon he gave those guys. He was animated. You could read the lips. He was not trying to be a professional. He unloaded on, and you can see their faces. They're like, you just like Winfield's face and McCollum's face. They were just ashen. He was reading them the riot act. So periodically he does do that in public, but it's not, you know, he's not doing it for the mass public. He's just doing it for his players.
Josh, you got to give us, you got to help us understand the great question about Florida's elite restoration, because how does a company that takes care of people in extreme disasters, mold, fire, flood, you know, the house falling apart. How do you have 5-star Google reviews, hundreds of them, all of them? How is that possible?
It really goes back to our team and our culture. And one of our sales coaches says that, you know, we do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And so we try to, I mean, it's a hard business and we don't get everything right. And, you know, we have our fair share of screw ups, but generally speaking, we try to take care of the customer the best way we can, whether that, you know, we help them with navigating their insurance. We kind of let them know on the front end what to expect. If they, you know, their coverage isn't very good, at least they're not surprised later on. And we try to have good customer service. And I always say that we want to be like the Chick-fil-A of restoration. You know, we're not the Taco Bell at 3 a.m. You know, we're the Chick-fil-A.
And so that, well, every time I pass Chick-fil-A, they're jammed.
Right. And I think that gives, you know, that's why we're kind of successful, is because we do try to, you know, give them that customer service. And we like, even we send them out videos and text messages, and there's a lot of automations, and we try to keep the customer informed, you know, as best as possible, and try to do the right thing.
Josh, I got a better analogy than Taco Bell at 3 o'clock. Waffle House at 2 a.m.
Yeah, there you go.
So Josh, what happens? Like, so let's say somebody's at their business or home at 7 o'clock, they realize they got a leak and they call you at 7:15 at night on a Tuesday. What happens?
One of our managers will call them. So they'd call into our service at that point. If it's an emergency after hours, everybody in some leadership form of the company's phone will ring. And so somebody will pick that up. We're a 24/7 company. So the manager will talk to them. Whoever's on the phone with them will talk to them, find out what's going on. We'll dispatch one of our on-call crews. We go out there and start the process. We'll look at your insurance policy to make sure you have proper coverages. So at least you know, again, what to expect.
So you come out, you put out all that up front. It's all free. The inspection, the review of what's going on.
Yeah. Whatever it is. If it's a water loss, we'll start placing equipment, doing our thing, and then help you file the claim and go from there.
And, you know, we make a big deal about Bill Curry Ford being family owned, but you guys are family owned and the family's working here on top of that.
Yeah. My daughter's out front. My sons are here. My brother's here. A lot of people in this company I've known since I was a teenager. Have been with us since day one. And so,
how did this thing start?
I started in the restoration industry as a kid. I was like probably 17 or 18, and I was just a kid that needed a job. And so I ended up working coincidentally at a restoration company, and it was kind of cool because as a teenager, you don't mind the long hours, you don't mind the on call, you don't mind working hard. So
you got money.
Yeah, you're making money, and it's like it feels good. In our industry, if you're in the field, it's something different every single day. You're meeting new people, new customers, new buildings, new everything's new every single day, so it's not redundant. And I enjoyed it. So then I kind of went up the line and became an estimator. I became a project manager. And by the time I was probably 23, I had crews working for me at this other restoration company. And then somebody that was working with me became an insurance adjuster. She went back to being an insurance adjuster. And she said to me, she called me up and she's like, Josh, you should look into becoming an insurance adjuster. You get to work from home, you make more money. And I'm like, okay, that sounds good. So I already knew the industry. I just didn't know the insurance side of it. So I became an adjuster, and I was an adjuster for 14 years.
Wow.
And I learned, at the end of my career, I was doing mostly like what they call excess surplus lines, which is like Lloyd's of London and a lot of commercial stuff. But the insurance companies, they squeeze everything. They squeeze the customers, they squeeze you, everything's just a number to them. And it got to the point where it lost its fun. You know, the insurance companies were just brutal, and they cry the blues about being broke and this and that. But at the end of the day, they're just trying to make money like everybody else.
How much of an advantage is it to you that you've been on that side?
Very much. I mean, we have adjusters that, and I hate for the adjusters that are listening out there, I close your ears. So there's a lot of them that just are not very good. They just do whatever the insurance company tells them without actually knowing the premise behind it and what's really legal and what's not. And, you know, I had an adjuster the other day try to not pay for something for this lady. And I'm like, you owe this to her. And then he tried to argue why he didn't, and he was wrong.
So you're fighting for the customer.
Yeah, we're fighting for the customer to the best of our ability. Yeah.
This is why people in need should go to Florida's Elite Restoration. You're an advocate for your clients.
Correct. And so in our industry, there's really kind of two types of vendors. There's vendors that get work from the insurance company. So if you call your insurance company, chances are they're going to send out, you know, quote unquote, their vendor. Well, the problem is that vendor, that homeowner is no longer the client. I mean, they're doing work in their
Absolutely.
House.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, but they're not
awful.
The client.
Yeah.
And so they're doing whatever the insurance company says because they're the ones feeding them work. And so if the insurance company says, you know, don't do X, Y, and Z because they don't want to pay for it, they're not going to do it. And so we're the kind of opposite of that because we came from the insurance background. I don't like insurance companies trying to dictate what I do with no real reasoning behind it other than wanting to save cost. And so we actually work for the customer. So we bill the insurance for sure, unless somebody wants to pay cash. But we do work with the insurance companies. We do work within the boundaries of your limit. But at the end of the day, we're doing the right thing and what really should be done. And we're not dictated by what an insurance adjuster tries to tell us.
Besides fixing the leaks and the water, Josh,
they're doing restoration.
Yeah, how extensive is the restoration part of this business?
Big, yeah. I mean, it's a huge part of our business. We're a full service contractor, so you know we can do pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's critical. I mean, I was screwed in this business as a consumer in like 2015, I think. Horrible. I mean, like terrible. And I'm not, you know, I don't think I'm the most gullible guy, but I got caught up in the drama of the moment, and
you didn't call Josh.
You got a flood.
I wasn't around.
You got a flood, and you get screwed, completely screwed. And you know, when I talked to Josh, you know, when it was 7-8 years ago, or whatever, I was just immediately telling myself, if I knew about Florida's Elite Restoration when I was in this situation, it would have changed my life. And I'm not joking, because it was that bad of a situation.
And of course, we know our guy Sean Sullivan has employed the benefits of Florida's Elite
before
Restoration.
We move back to the Bucks, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. That's where I always tell people, go there, understand what they do, so you're ready. But Josh, does Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford, does he lead the league in most disasters? Because he's always got disasters.
he's definitely had a few of them. There are repeat customers for sure, which is kind of funny because most people have maybe one claim in their life. And then some people just draw the short straw and have like one every year. But yeah, you know, we've been to Sean's a few times, and Sean's great. Bill Curry's great. I told you guys before, we buy our fleet vehicles from Bill Curry Ford. They service our cars. So shout out to them and Sean as well.
You deal with people when they're at their most vulnerable. These people are vulnerable at that time. You know, they're ripe to be exploited by the wrong company.
Correct. Or the insurance company. Right. Yeah. So like what Steve said, I mean, you can get royally screwed if you make the wrong choice.
All right. So to close that part of it out, Josh, your final thought for anybody out there, homeowner, what do they need to know? The last thing you want them to walk away with about Florida's Elite Restoration?
I would say kind of two things. I mean, if you're listening to the podcast, you've heard about us, you've heard, you know, our company name, you've seen it on the website, but just on a personal level, look at your policy, talk to your agent. You know, a lot of people think they have these coverages and they don't. You know, ask your insurance agent, hey, do I have a $10,000 limit for water? Because $10,000 a decade or two ago might have been great. But these days, $10,000 does not go very far when you need a new kitchen, new bathroom, new flooring. So there's a lot of $10,000 water damage limits that are out there, which are hurting people. And another thing you could ask your agent is, does my policy have a 1% matching limit? Because if you have a nice kitchen or hardwood floors or tile or something, and something happens to that, the insurance company can pay you 1% of your total coverage. So if you're insured for like $500,000, you have a nice house, you're only going to get $5,000 for matching, which is like terrible. So you just really want to look at your policy, talk to your agent, make sure you have the right coverages, make sure it's what you need. Because when you do need the insurance, you know, you need to make sure it's readily available.
Florida'sElite Restoration.com. So Josh, back to the Bucks. Where do you stand now? Your expectations for this season? Like, if you had to put a number on it right now, we haven't had the draft, obviously, and Jason Light gets starters out of the draft. But if you look at the situation right now, what's the record for the Bucks next year? Where are you?
Well, you know, losing Mike Evans, I know we got Ibuka and he was great, but you know, Lee's brought out before, like, where was he at the second half? I don't know. You know, I'm not a coach. So, right. And then, so you know, what do we replace him with? You know, we have Godwin, but you know, is he a true number one? He's hurt. You know, he's coming off injuries. Like, so it scares me. Losing Levante is a little rough. What do we have behind him? Bowles is the question mark. So there's a lot of, you know, and again, the draft. We don't know what's going to happen in the draft. But, and I hope I'm wrong, six or seven wins is where
I
see it.
Wow, so you're right there with Lee. Yeah, six wins.
Yeah, unless they, you know, wow. They prove me wrong. Like, I hope they do. I'd love 10, 12, 14 wins. That'd be awesome. You know, I'm at the games. Like, our company's at the games. Like, our clients are at the games. Like, we want wins. But second half of last year was a little scary.
I like his grade for like, a B. I think that's a smart grade.
I'd give Jason a B as well. I'm not looking at 12 years of work. I'm talking about where he is right now. I'd give him a B. Wow, 6-7 wins. Well,
you and
tough.
I are about 8.
That's tough.
Right? I'm at 8. Where
yeah,
are you right?
I'm at 9 right now. Okay. We'll see. Well,
he's sure that Mayfield's going to get some kind of an extension before the season.
He might. I'm okay with it. It's not a bad thing. I mean, he's a great player. He's a great quarterback. He's a great teammate. Tampa loves him. But again, second half of last year was a little scary. If he gets banged up again, where are we at?
All right, so where do you want to see Ira improve?
besides the waistline?
Nice. Who do you want him to draft? Who do you want?
I don't know.
Talk about changing subject.
Yeah, I'm right off that, baby. I got a 32 waist. If you can't see, if you got glasses on. So you want an edge rush? Now, wait a minute. Lee says the Bulls doesn't know how to develop an edge rusher.
Well, the next coach will, right?
I mean, yeah, the next coach will. The
next coach would. What would be your number two? Like, if they don't get the edge rusher.
Inside linebacker.
Bucky thing is concerning.
It is concerning.
You know, I like Sean Tucker.
Corner.
Maybe a corner. I mean, we have holes. There's no doubt about it.
Now, what do you think? And Steve planted this seed in my head a couple weeks ago. And the more I think about it, the more that corn grows. Defensive tackle. And if you think about it, let's say Villa's good and you re-sign him. And let's say Kansas finally has a healthy year. And he'll be, if he's healthy, I think he'll be good. But look at Houston and look at Philadelphia. They don't have any issue by drafting trenches, by drafting defensive linemen. And you get those guys in a rotation, you got another good guy in there.
That's right.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, it'd be good. I mean, because Villa's I love Villa, but he's getting older too. And, he, like you guys have mentioned before, I don't think he plays that many snaps, right?
And Kansas's always injured.
Right. Right, so getting somebody else in there might be good too. Just somebody exciting, somebody to ruffle some feathers, you know. Just
yeah, he picked up his snaps last year, and you figure last year of his contract, he's going to jack up his. There's nothing to save him for anymore. But how much farther he can go in the future?
He's a big guy too.
How crazy were you about special teams last year?
Oh gosh,
just
terrible,
awful,
terrible, embarrassing.
I think it lost the Buffalo game. I think they lost the Buffalo game because of. Now, like Lee says, the defense stunk, but it's Josh Allen. But you can't give him the 50-yard line every time he's going under center. That don't help Zion McCollum.
All right, Josh, we are grateful to be here at the Florida's Elite Restoration headquarters. I think, you know, maybe we need a studio in the back there.
Got a
lot
nice
of room
setup
back
over
there.
It's nice.
Yeah, I might have to work a deal, Ira.
Yeah, we're actually talking about building a studio in the back, actually.
Hey, I know. I feel great working with you guys. We appreciate your support through the years, and we appreciate the Bucks fans that have your website, Florida'sElite Restoration.com, in their phones, in their, you know, scribbled on the refrigerator. wherever they got it, so they know that, hey, when something happens, they're going to call you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Josh, I thought I needed you a year ago because up by my cabinets in the kitchen, I thought I might have a leak, and next thing I know, you sent somebody right out. I think it was might have been your son.
Yeah, one of my sons.
Yeah, and he came out, and he had all the you know, the technology. After 5 minutes, he goes, it's bone dry. And you know what? A year later, it hasn't changed. It looks the same as it did a year ago.
You need to paint that ceiling.
And they came immediately. Josh took care of it immediately. Josh, we always love hearing stories from our people about that have used Florida's Elite Restoration. Can you lend us a couple of those Google reviews? Yeah. Steve, we don't have all 5-star Google reviews.
Definitely not. Ira, we got to hit you with what's been tearing up the sports world here. Diana Russini and Mike Vrabel getting caught by the New York Post pictures at a resort in Sedona, a couple of 100 miles north of where the NFL owners' meetings were. They were there a couple of days prior to that kicking off in Phoenix.
It was a Sedona resort. Yeah,
yeah, Sedona. In Sedona, you know, which is huge elevation and all that stuff.
Gorgeous place.
So there they are, Ira. And of course, what happens is, you know, fans see that. And aside from all the jokes and the one-liners and the salaciousness of it all, they see that as, you know, the media is corrupt. There's some corrupt stuff going on with this kind of relationship for somebody who's reporting on that. And of course, Vrabel said it's ridiculous. And Diana Russini, backed by the New York Times, says that this kind of stuff goes on all the time with reporters mingling with sources and coaches, general managers, that kind of thing. And the Times says that this is just fine, no big deal. And she continues to roll on with work. So I'm going to ask you this, Ira. Have you been holding hands with Todd Bowles? What's going on?
I don't think I've ever seen a coach in a private setting somewhere. I don't remember ever doing that. Certainly not with Ray Perkins. Lee, he wasn't. He wouldn't go across the street and buy me a hamburger if I asked him to. Look, I'll say this, Lee. We don't know the details. There's denials all around. But if there's a romantic element to this, if there is, and that's an if, it's a terrible look, mostly for the women in the industry, the other women in the industry that are so professional. And Lee, the three of us know a lot of them, a lot of them. And they're as professional as the male writers, if not more. They put up limits about where they're going with the people that they cover. And I think that this kind of story just kind of reinforces those stereotypes that female reporters are cavorting with the sources, and that's how they're getting their stories. And I don't believe that's true to any great extent. But it's a terrible look. It's a terrible optic. If there's a romantic element, it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong on both sides. On both sides. I hope it's not true, but I don't think it's fair to the all the other female sports journalists, many of them who I've got the most utmost respect for. It's just a terrible optic.
So you're saying if there's no sexual element to it,
romantic.
Well,
whatever you want.
You always want to push it to the next thing.
Whatever you want to call it, okay? Right. If there's no romantic element to it, then it's just fine? Is it the equivalent of you going out fishing with Greg Schiano and hugging it up when you guys catch a snook or something?
Well, you went fishing with Schiano?
Absolutely not. I mean, maybe they're at the same resort at the same time, but the pictures tell a different story. You know, they do. Now, apparently she was with other people. He was with other people, but they're not in the picture. Where are they? And how many times can I say it, Lee? It's a horrible look. And who ends up with the pictures? Page 6. It's either them or TMZ, Lee.
Well,
all the time.
Because those two. Yeah, exactly. They traffic in checkbook journalism.
National Enquirer, throw them in the mix.
Are they still around?
I think they are. Something in the mail asking me if I wanted to buy a subscription. Anyway, go ahead, Lee.
Well, first off, what you said about women journalists, I can't do any better than that. You said it perfectly. I mean, I've worked with all kinds of women journalists. I don't know one that had any kind of relationship with a coach or a player. I know several who have, dating all the way back to, I don't know her name, I apologize, but there was a sports reporter that had an affair with Dr. J, and their daughter eventually...
That's right.
Became a professional tennis player.
Samantha Stevenson, that's
so,
right.
So, I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, there's someone I know that works for CBS right now. She was covering a baseball team, and she wound up marrying one of the players she covered. I could go on and on about the examples. So this is nothing new. I personally do not know of a, you know, like someone I've worked with. I don't know anyone that had any type of relationship that was not professional. And it's really none of my business if they do or they don't.
You mean, are you saying romantic?
Yes, I'm not talking about, hey, you want to play Pac-Man? You know?
Well, I think we do know somebody, Lee. I'm not going to say it on the air here, but I know we do know somebody who had a relationship that one could say was not professional.
I'm drawing a blank.
But this is not having a drink with a club executive. I don't think it's the same
thing. Kara Henderson, for example, NFL Network, she married Les Snead.
But she doesn't report on the Rams.
Ira, the question everybody wants to know is, did you sleep with Georgia Frontier?
I wouldn't be here at Florida's Elite Restoration. I'd be in Maui 9 months of the year, if that was true.
That's the former Rams owner. She would be about 100 years old today, passed away years ago. So I'm kidding around, of course. But Ira, look, how much different is this? And I mean this sincerely. So for years, you worked for the Tampa Tribune. That's how people knew you, as the great scribe for decades. The Tampa Tribune was paying millions of dollars to have their name up in Raymond James Stadium and be a partner with the Buccaneers.
That's right.
Now, that meant the relationship with the Tribune and the Bucs was very important to the Tribune, that they were willing to pay $1 million for.
That's right.
So isn't that a little shady?
Here's where it's different. That's the business side of the Tampa Tribune. They never, ever told anybody in editorial, go easy on the Bucs. I never heard it. I was one of the Buck writers. That's a business decision. You want to do that, fine. Now, if they come in and tell you this is how you're going to handle the Bucs, that's a problem. That's unethical. So that would be similar type of a calamity.
Calamity.
But nobody ever told me how to handle the Bucs, even with the $1 million contract. The only time I heard about it was when some of the Glazers were complaining that the Trib wasn't paying the $1 million. They're $1 million in arrears. What am I supposed to say? I was embarrassed.
Well, you're talking about romantic relationships, and you used the word arrears. That's a little...
Arrears, yeah.
Ira, is it inappropriate for Jason Light to take us out for drinks this summer?
No, I'm going to pay for my own drink, though. I'm going to pay for my own drink. I don't want Light picking up the tab. But, I'd like that because it gives us a foundation to work off. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. No romance there, Steve. Don't even imply any romance.
So you sure you never held hands with Dirk Cutter? You guys were
now. You were gonna say something about this Rossini thing with
Sean Payton.
Describe this to our listeners.
The listeners may not remember that at last year's owners' meetings at the Breakers in Palm Beach, you spent maybe 45 minutes with
you. Dispatched me to Sean Payton.
Yeah, to go
said,
talk.
Go ask about Lavonnie David, whether he's a Hall of Famer or not. He said borderline.
You went to talk to Sean Payton. Sean Payton was with his wife.
Yep.
And I loop around 5 minutes later, and then it's Ira cozied up to Diana Rossini talking with Sean Payton and Sean's wife for 45 minutes.
Yep.
And you became fast.
You didn't snap any pictures of that, did you, Steve?
I think I do, actually.
You're famous for that.
It's from behind sort of thing.
Lee, I was regaling all three of them, including Payton's wife. They were fascinated because I was giving them some behind-the-scenes Hall of Fame stuff, my speech on Sapp.
Wait a minute. You're saying that you had behind-the-scenes important information that Diana Rossini was interested in. This is getting very interesting.
Come on. It's about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Sean Payton was eating it up. How'd you get Sapp in on the first ballot? I told him.
Belichick.
I told him what happened.
Yeah, Belichick helped you out.
Yeah, Belichick helped me out. I gave him that Belichick story. He loved that. I told him when I came into town, I talked to my guy, Rick Goslin. Hey, how's it looking for Sapp this year? You got your work cut out, Ira. I don't think it's going to happen. Why not? They hate him. They're going to make him wait a year. Well, they didn't. And they love that behind-the-scenes stuff. Then I looked at Sean Payton at one point. I looked at his wife. And I go, your wife could have got Derek Brooks in. All I had to do was say, Derek Brooks and sit down. That's all I had to do. And then those 8 years with John Lynch. They loved that part. What'd you do? Give the same speech for 8 years? No. Got to tweak the speech. By the way, tweaking was in the...
Twerking?
It wasn't. Isn't tweak part of Todd Bowles' comments?
Ira, before we get out off this subject, I got to ask you this. Do you think the NFL, this is a serious question again.
All right.
Been kidding around a little bit, but do you think the NFL steps in and makes a rule that says you're not going to get media credentials if you have any sort of association with a coach or a GM out of the framework, and this is the guidelines that we're setting for media credentials? If you want a credential, this is how you have to behave with team officials. Do you think that's what comes out of this?
I do not.
I agree with you.
I think Goodell will wash his hands of the whole thing like it never happened. hope it goes away, and it will go away.
I don't think Goodell gives a damn. What's it going to cost the NFL? Not a nickel.
You know,
and if anything, it creates buzz in the offseason. They love that.
Now, Lee, this is a little bit off topic, but not that much off topic because it happens all the time. These insiders, besides Diana Rossini, male insiders, they deal with agents.
Oh, I know.
And there's all kinds of nonsense that goes on with these agents. And now they're putting the agent's name down, you know, breaking news. This guy signed a 3-year deal, and the deal was made by agents. So not a name in the agents. Before, they didn't even do that. Now they're doing that. And I think the agents are saying, you put my name on that story, or you're not getting the next text from me.
Yeah, you
that's going on all the time.
You help me out, or I turn the siphon off.
That's going spigot. On all the
you
time.
Turn the spigot off.
Agents are driving the whole thing.
All
the breaking stories are coming from agents.
Well, you know why, don't you? One of which is, the main thing is, these pseudo-fake numbers that they put out, you know, people don't go through all of that doesn't mean this. Or
that's
this.
Right.
Florio's big on that, and good for him. And I mean that in a sincere way, good for him. But players see the initial number twittered out by Schefter or Rappaport. Wow, that guy made that kind of money?
I want that guy as my agent.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, no agent for you, Ira. We'll be back.
I don't have an agent, Steve.
And we're proud to be presented by Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. 65 years of Tampa tradition, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. You've got to check out all the incredible lease offers right now at BillCurryFord.com. The numbers, it feels like it's 2007 with this pricing. And on top of that, you can schedule mobile service at your home in Tampa, and Bill Curry Ford will come out and work on your vehicle at your property, or they'll have their own tow truck and take it back to the shop. No additional charge. None. Mobile service. Schedule it now. BillCurryFord.com. General Manager Sean Sullivan, he's got the Ira Kaufman discount for you, the Joe Bucks fan discount. Just ask, and you can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Ira, the draft is around the corner. Bucks fans are going a little crazy. There's a lot of excitement about how this team can improve. And, of course, we've talked about the Kenyon Sadiq angle, the tight end. I am starting to think it's a little silly the more I think about it.
I want to say one thing about Kenyon Sadiq. Lee, I was thinking about him for a month ago as a viable option. You know, Lee, just because he's the best tight end prospect in this draft, he's not Brock Bowers.
Who is?
He's not Rob Gronkowski.
Who is?
Yeah, but you don't know
he's
that.
He's not Trey McBride.
You don't know who any is? Of this.
I don't think he's done it from a production standpoint.
McBride was the second-round pick. Gronk was the second-round pick.
I don't think he's got the production. You know, plus giving Kate Otten the money and, you know, why are you bringing him back?
Two tight end sets. Robinson did a lot of that in Atlanta.
I don't think they can do it again where they crying out for defense and they draft an offensive player. I don't think they're going to do that.
12 months ago, they did just that.
I think a receiver is different than a tight end, though. It's like a tight end, you know, and you mentioned guys who were top players that were second-round picks. I don't think you need to invest that kind of capital in a tight end.
I don't think he's good as the guy on the Colts, Tyler Warren, last year.
You know,
really good player.
Maybe because I didn't watch the Colts, I didn't see that he did anything
great. Yeah, he's good.
Well, I know he was really good at Penn State, but I didn't, you know, again, I don't watch the Colts, but I didn't see his name. Everybody's, oh my gosh.
I got too many questions on Sadiq. I'm dropping him. He's off my board.
He's off the sage board. The big sage board.
Now, if he's sitting there in the second round, but he won't be. He won't be.
Ira, how much time do you put into the sage board?
Well, not as much as Sean Sullivan, but I know the names. Every time I look around, it's a guy from Ohio State. They should have won the scoring thing 570-70. For the season. They are loaded.
Well, you and a lot of Ohio State fans will agree about Ryan Day. But you said something last week and you just stole my thunder. It's always Ohio State, you said. It's always Ohio State.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're always loaded.
This Caleb Downs is supposed to be fantastic.
They're loaded,
safety.
Man. They're always loaded.
They got a receiver. They always have a receiver.
Always have
always.
Well, look, our last year was kind of an exception with the two tight ends going in the first round. You don't see that too often. Warren, I think, was 14, 15, 16, middle of the pack.
He's like, a good player.
You know, like the Bucks are picking, you know, similar pick from the Colts last year. But more and more, you got to look toward how Jason Light's viewing the team. And I don't get any feeling, spending time around him, and, you know, we're paying attention to everything he says publicly on top of that. I don't think he has any worry about his own future. Like, I don't think Jason Light has a win now fear in the back of his mind based on how he approached free agency, how he's conducted himself. And I think he's going to look more toward, you know, we don't really need the tight end.
I think Light loves the potential of this offense. I think
as it is now.
I think he loves it.
Put potentially they got something as long as the quarterback stays healthy.
And the O-line.
Was that an anomaly last year?
Yeah.
Because for years they never had injuries, and all of a sudden, boom, they were just littered with injuries.
The pendulum totally
swung. Yeah.
You brought that up, Ira. Let's put it out this way. Cody Mack coming off a lost season and major knee surgery. Bredesen missed 6 games. Tristan Wirfs, he's missed 11 games in 6 seasons. Every year he misses a couple of games, and it's been more lately. Luke Getteke's missed 10 games over the last 2 years.
So you go easy with him in training camp. You don't kill these guys. They'll be
so
ready.
So you're saying they got hurt because they practiced?
No, I'm not. I'm saying now, now that they're hurt, you get them ready for September. I don't care about the second preseason.
They re-signed Justin Schooley. You like that?
I don't care.
All right. I thought that was a hell of a move. When he left, I thought that hurt them. And I
thought you loved the other swing tackle that you can't even spell his name.
Heck?
Chukwuma.
H-E-C-K. This is why I thought Schooley was a loss and why I think it's a gain, him coming back. And I had Tristan Wirfs tell me this personally. Schooley was basically an extra assistant coach on the sidelines.
Does Wirfs need any coaching at this point?
He would say yes, and he gave me examples, Ira. Whoever on a possession, whether it was Getteke was closest to a sideline or the next two possessions, Wirfs was closest to the sideline, these guys both told me, as soon as they got off the field, Schooley met him at the sidelines, gave him a breakdown, what the defensive end was doing, what they were doing, and maybe what they should do different, or maybe what they should look out for. And Wirfs gave me a perfect example. Unlike Tom Brady, Mayfield, you're not really sure where he's going to set up. He may scramble, he may bounce around the pocket.
You knew where
he was going to set up. And Wirfs, on this particular game, he was telling me, he didn't know how many steps he had to take until he had to plant his foot. So he was unsure. He was guessing. And he was guessing wrong. He was only taking like 4 steps. He thought, I can't do it anymore. Mayfield's right behind me. So he gets off the field in the possession. Schooley said, no, you got more room. You got 2, maybe 3 steps. Don't worry about it. You don't have to use the plant foot this quickly. Wirfs did that, and he said he got better by doing that. So, yes,
I'd like the Schooley signing more if he was the freaking offensive line coach, according to. By the way, I didn't ask you this.
Well, hold on. School made 9 starts for the Vikings last year. They didn't keep him. And he couldn't get a starting job. So he's not some savior. I agree with Lee, but I agree with what you initially said, which is, does Wirfs really need that help? 2 years ago when Schooley was here, that was Wirfs' first year at left tackle. And now, of course, Getteke's a veteran. So it's a little different.
Steve, I didn't ask you this about your trip to Phoenix, which was very fruitful.
No, I didn't go to Sedona. And I didn't hold the hands with anybody.
Steve, did you get any inkling? Or did anybody ask or mention it at all about possibly shifting Bredesen and Barton from center?
I asked. Yeah, I think that was one of your questions. Yeah,
You did ask that question?
I did. Bowles? I asked Todd Bowles on the record, and he said no. Not a consideration.
I don't think I'm the only one thinking like that.
A lot of fans don't like Bredesen, I think.
I think they don't like Barton.
They don't like Barton.
Well, they're souring on Barton, but they hate Bredesen. And of the comments on Joe Buck's fan, I don't see anybody saying cut Barton, but I am seeing get rid of Bredesen.
I don't want to cut Barton. I want to move him to guard.
Well, I'm just saying they're souring on Barton. I didn't say anybody said cut him, but they're souring on him at center. For the most part, when I read commenters on Joe Buck's fan, all of a sudden they've turned on a guy that who normally is okay, if not good. There's always the same culprit. Always.
Bowles?
No. Worse than Bowles.
Worse than Bowles?
Worse than Bowles.
All right, wait a minute.
And always the offensive line. Always the offensive line.
Go ahead.
The PFF tribe.
Oh, jeez.
You know, there was someone the Bucks had on the offensive line, and readers were ragging on this guy. And I started doing the research, like, where's this coming from? Sure enough, PFF tribe.
I'm not putting any credibility in some guy in his T-shirt in his basement looking at tape and not even knowing what the guy's assignment was.
Bingo!
Like.
Well, they don't even know what the assignments
PFF
are.
PFF tribe is sort of no more anymore, yeah, so yeah. That should say a lot. We'll see how they try to reinvent themselves. But Ira, I think Jason Light will draft an offensive lineman. He's never gone 2 drafts in a row without drafting one.
He will.
And
I think
it'll be a guard.
He didn't take one last year, so we're ready for one. He's had 3 drafts where he's taken 2 offensive linemen. And I don't know. I'm starting to think maybe he goes a little sooner. 3rd, 4th round, I could see it. I don't know.
I could see a 4th round guard as a backup.
Sure.
I think Mauch's starting game one. I don't have a lot of doubt about Mauch.
Mauch played excellent until he blew out that knee. Remember against Houston how well he played? That's not some chicken spit defense. And if people remember when Mayfield ran that ball in like 20-some yards out for a touchdown, who was meeting him in the end zone? Cody Mauch.
I think he'll be ready for week one, Steve.
Right. It's a nice thought, but why are you so confident that he's not going to have any effects of an ACL surgery?
Because I don't think you have to have that much mobility at guard. Not as much as center. Malk's a mauler. I think he'll still be able to maul.
I think you two guys are talking about two separate things. You could be ready to go and practice 100%, completely cleared by doctors, trainers, you name it. That doesn't mean you may not have after effects of a surgery. So I think those are two different elements.
Most of the guys say, I needed a year to playing to get
That's
back.
Fair.
So I don't know.
That's fair. Look at Chris Godwin.
The point is, I think Light's drafting an offensive lineman, and it could come a little bit sooner.
The point is, when a guard went down last year, they didn't have any answers.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Their guards were brutal. And I know they re-signed Dan Freeney. And I know fans freaked out, and I agree with them. He sucks. Now, just because the Bucs re-signed him doesn't mean he's going to be on a 53-man roster.
Who
come
says
September.
You can't pick up somebody with the late cuts? There's always somebody available that you didn't anticipate.
Ira, if I had an issue with Jason Light last year, why the hell didn't he get someone in here better to play guard than a guy who was on Buffalo's practice squad? He could have done better.
Guys get cut in late August, Steve. They're players.
All right.
They're players.
Going back to the draft, is this the year where Todd Bowles maybe gets a little more assertive and says, look, you got to hand me the first round pick on defense. Enough's enough. I got a lot on the line here, and we invested last year. Come on. I'm not telling you who to pick, Jason, but give me that defensive pick. And do you think the Glazers are going to weigh in on this as well? Because first round pick is still something that they're very interested in.
I think you're making a good point, Steve, because after the 24 season, defense was a concern, but you just won 10 games. Nobody's going crazy. You won 10 games with that defense. Things have changed. Now you won 8 games, and the defense went backwards from 24 when it wasn't even that very good. They got to take a defensive player at 15. I'm sorry. There's no two ways about it. You're not taking a guard
who got
at
to
15.
You? Who got to you?
You're not.
Who got
and
to
I don't
you?
Think they're taking Sadiq, and they're certainly not taking a quarterback, and they ain't taking a running back at 15, unless Jeremiah Love is there, and there's no chance.
Are you holding
happening.
Hands with an agent again?
Ira, you're screaming now. You want?
I'm adamant.
You're adamant. I agree with you.
I might even take a corner over a tight end. Give me something.
Oof.
But pass rusher. Inside linebacker, corner. Those are the three in that order.
Lee, what's your order? You got an order?
Yeah. Number one, no edge rush until the second day or later. None.
That's a bowl. That's a bowl.
I'm doing it. I'm not giving Bowles the opportunity to screw up a first round pick.
Lee, see, unbelievable.
If he screws it, I'd be a hypocrite if I all of a sudden say, oh, yeah, Todd Bowles, he developed Too Tall Jones and LC Greenwood. He's a master. I'm okay if he screws up a third round pick or a fourth round because that doesn't sting as bad. First round pick killed you. So that's number one. Number two, whoever you want. You can go so many ways.
Could be D tackle.
You can go tight end. You can go defensive line. You can go inside linebacker. You can go corner. I don't know about safety, but you can go so many ways. So I really don't care so long as it is not an edge rusher on the first day. Now, Steve, you told me. I hope what I'm talking about is on the record. You told me Todd Bowles said you go for best player available in the first round, and after that you attack needs.
Yeah, Bowles made that public.
So you think he's going to go back on his beliefs?
He's not making the pick.
Yeah, I think he might go back on his beliefs.
You really think Jason Light would draft a guy that Bowles doesn't want?
Light's making this pick.
Yeah, I think he would do that, but I think they have their levels of consensus, their boxes. But, yeah, I do think Bowles might, which is what we were just talking about, he might step out of his
comfort zone
of, hey, draft best player first round, then you go for need. This might be the year where he steps
out. Wait a minute. I can't let this go. I cannot let this go. We're at Florida's Elite Restoration. I might walk out into the parking lot. Lee DeKemper is now at the point where he says their most glaring need needs to be overlooked because I don't trust the coach to develop that player.
Bingo.
That is DEFCON 5, Izbits. Are you going to let that pass without comment?
Ira, that's the bed the Bucks have made.
Wow.
What's to let pass? He's been saying it for a year.
They got to get an edge rusher. Are you saying don't draft him because you don't trust Bowles to develop him?
Ira, I already said if it's me, I draft the guy because you need him. Maybe the next
Lee,
coach.
Lee, that's going out on a branch there, Lee.
I don't think so at all.
So you're not addressing your main need.
Okay, let's say you have a crisis at your home and your house is flooded.
Then I'm calling Florida's Elite Restoration.
Well, that's just it. You wouldn't go with some nickel and dime outfit that has 5,001 star reviews, you'd go Florida's elite restoration. Same thing here. If your coach has proven not to develop an edge rusher, why the hell would you get a first round pick and let this guy butcher him? If you have to have surgery, would you go to the Philippines to have some guy, or would you go talk to Dr. Wink? I mean, to me, it's just that's common sense.
Wow, that's strong.
But to answer Lee's question, the reason they would do that is because the Glazers believe in Todd Bowles, and they believe that was an issue for the team positionally last year. Jason Light also knows I'm not passing the best available edge rusher because Bowles sucks. That'll fall on him.
I don't think the Glazers agree with you.
I think they own the team.
I don't think they agree with you.
I think the organization wouldn't agree. I get where Lee's saying, but I think the organization would think,
I understand what Lee's saying.
This is our need. This is our guy. And
we're going to roll with him.
They'll go with the talent and see what happens. You know, if Bowles screws him up, he'll be gone next year anyway, most likely.
So you're saying he's not going to develop David Walker also? You got no faith in that?
Do I hope? Yeah, but hope and faith are two different animals. And belief, I don't believe it. I hope so. Please prove me wrong. It means the Bucks will win and I'll make money. It goes against evidence. You know,
seems to be a decent draft for edge rushers. Decent.
Maybe okay. I keep reading inside linebackers and tight ends is really good.
The defensive tackle thing is interesting because if you do draft a defensive tackle, let's say you trade down four spots and get a defensive tackle.
He's making a solid point. Solid point on defensive tackle. And move on from Vea maybe a year from now. You move on.
Well, if you look at it that way, well, let's just talk about 2026. Because if you do that, you got A'shaun Robinson, a guy you're paying $10 million. He's going to play.
He's old.
Just talking 2026.
Oh, okay.
You want your first round pick on the field if you take him 15. So I'm trying to look at what might change. And maybe they decide to use Kancey Moore as an edge rusher, which they've done before. And he's done well at it. Maybe in that scenario, they start to get a little more creative. You know, we've seen Vea on the edge a couple of times as well. I'm not
I've seen that too. He actually does a halfway decent job.
I'm not advocating it, but if you get that guy, you got to have those guys on the field. I can just imagine what would be happening in the owner's box with the Glazers. Oh, we signed A'shaun Robinson. Why doesn't he play?
You might get the best D tackle in the draft at 15. I mean, you might.
Yeah, you could. You might. It's a little bit of a reach. That's why I think if Light trades back, I would keep my eye out for, here we go again, Ira. Ohio State, that defensive tackle. Here's another one for you. And I keep reading, like, Mina Kimes is a big fan of this guy. You know, not that she's an oracle, but she knows her football.
She does.
I want to say his name's Max Clare, tight end from
Ohio State.
Ohio State.
They got to go defense, Steve. There's no way around this. Fans will go crazy.
No, I don't think they'll go crazy.
Nobody's getting excited about Kenyon Sadiq. First, they can't spell his name. Number two, they'll say, what are you doing with K-Dot? What are you doing?
Come on. Two different tight ends.
You can't lose touch with the fans. Too much of your hand-holding with the coaches. The fans would go crazy excited if they drafted Sadiq because it's offense. Everybody wants to see him run it up. They'd be like, this is great. Let's just, you know, Bowles sucks. He can't coach defense. Let's just win 32-29 every game. They'd love it. They would love it.
Fix this defense. Fix it.
And I say that collectively. Like, two-thirds would love the pick, especially once he gets on the field. Makes everything more exciting. You watch a whole preseason with, you know, what does this guy got?
Does that bump out into the bench, or are they using two tight ends?
Two tight ends. Zach Robinson has a history of using two tight ends.
Hey, what do you make of Chris Sims revealing that he was in the owner's box for the Thursday night football game against the Falcons?
Yes.
He revealed that he was a guest, which we knew, but he watched the whole game in there, and he said at the end of the game,
you saw how glum the Glazers were.
The Glazers decided that they were not going to run downstairs or meet with other people or do whatever billionaires do after losing a game, that they were going to gather around as a family.
That was a good little tidbit.
And watch the Bulls news conference.
They don't do that normally. Normally, they don't do that.
They don't?
No. They go downstairs.
So you're even after a loss?
Go downstairs and get in their Cadillac and get the hell out of there.
So, what's your thought about that whole revelation?
I thought it was very interesting. Now, Chris Sims also said he didn't stick around to watch the Glazers watching the post game. He thought that was a family thing, and I got to get out of here. So he left.
Yeah, he thought it was set at like a family business meeting, and I need to say goodbye and leave.
I mean, can you imagine what was going on in that suite? I've been in that suite. It's a double suite. Huge.
Well,
the Glazers suite.
I've written in the past, and this is before Bowles and Arians were here, I've written in the past that if I was a Glazer
and I saw the pathetic lack of edge rush, I'd pull a Bobby Knight and throw a chair out of the luggage box. I'd go bananas. Like, I'm paying millions of dollars for this garbage?
You wouldn't hit anybody because there's nobody in those seats.
That
was a good tidbit by Chris Sims, a good tidbit. And so what did they listen to? The tirade from Todd Bowles that night. That's what they listened to. I got to think they liked it. I would like it if I was an owner. Show something, Todd. Show some gonads.
So you think they liked it? You think
first time I've used gonads on this podcast.
You think they hired a guy with that demeanor and liked
it? If they didn't like it, they probably wouldn't have rehired him. They probably liked
that's
it.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
would have kept him, you think? All right. I don't know. It's something to explore because that was a fascinating nugget from Sims because nobody's in the Glazer box reporting what goes on in there. And there they are gathered around. Let's hear what Todd and Mayfield have to say about this soul-crushing loss. And we could watch it on YouTube tonight, but no, we're going to watch it live. And then he comes out cursing up a storm. There's got to be at least two Glazers that said, man, Todd's losing it. This whole thing's falling apart. They had to be.
In retrospect, Bowles did himself a service by not just saying, we got to coach it better and we got to play it better.
You're right.
That night. If he would have said that, that don't go over well with Ed Glazer. That ain't going over.
It doesn't go over with the fans whatsoever.
No, it doesn't.
All right, Ira, look, Sean Sullivan, Best in Class podcast. He, of course, is our draft guru as well as the GM at Bill Curry Ford.
Talk about a guy who's taking a deep dive into the draft.
He is our draft guru, and his podcasts are at joebucksfan.com. The Edge Rusher Breakdown, the Defensive Tackle Breakdown, as well as Inside Linebackers. And folks can catch up with that and, of course, catch up with us all week long.
By the way, let me throw this in there.
Go ahead.
Lee, you remember this very well. 2 years ago, all he was talking about was Caleb Williams. You know what? After last season, this guy might be a superstar. He's close to being a superstar.
That playoff win over the Packers was breathtaking.
Breathtaking.
Well, you know, Sean's gassed up a lot of players that I think are much more worthy of your praise. You know, a guy's celebrating the number one pick in the draft, albeit before the draft.
He said it was the best prospect he's ever seen.
I get it.
More than Elway.
He's still the number one pick. We can't, like, see.
I understand that.
I'll go with Brian Burns if I want to celebrate Sean, who screamed that the Bucs needed to draft this guy, and they didn't. And, you know, he's on a Hall of Fame track.
Now he's with the Giants, right?
Hall of Fame track with his numbers.
I don't know why Carolina gave him up. I don't understand that.
Yeah, it was dumb.
That was dumb. Young player like that.
McCaffrey, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, DJ Moore, this guy, this guy from Florida.
That's called the dysfunctional organization.
That's not dysfunctional. That's like, I want to use a word that's very offensive, but that's just asinine, man.
That's a good one.
That's kind of like us at joebucksfan.com. All right, look.
Why are you looking at me when he said asinine?
Oh.
All right. Well, we are getting the night shift is coming in at Florida's Elite Restoration. So we're going to clear out of the conference room here.
I'm hitting the toll road. I'm getting the hell out of here.
There you go. So much to get to in the coming days. We have our couple of special draft podcasts coming up. We'd be doing something different with our pre-draft podcast. I'll lay that out for the listeners.
And Jason Light's talking next week.
Jason Light's talking next week. Ira's going to New Orleans. And
you're not
going to
get anything out of Jason Light. I'll say it right now. You're not going to get
very little, if anything.
Well, you know what? You can send me a pointed question, Ira. I'll ask
there
it for you,
go. You.
How about that? All right. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration, for having us today. Floridaselite.com. And, of course, Bill Curry Ford for presenting all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. A final thought, Ira? Are you on a diet before you head to New Orleans? How does that work?
Well, it's too late. It's too late. I went on the scale today. It's going to look bad a week from now. That's all.
And the only thing I better tell you, Ira, if you go to the gumbo shop, you got to have their whiskey bread pudding.
I'm all over it.